Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. It's a busy weekend. So you probably woke up this morning and you had to change the clocks because maybe you forgot to do it yesterday. Busy weekend, a lot of exciting things happening, and we're moving into another season. So hopefully the weather will stay warm wherever you are. It is definitely going to be warm where I'm going to be tomorrow because I am going to check something off my bucket list. I am flying to Cuba tomorrow. I've waited my whole life. I grew up in Miami in the 60s when there was Cubans flooding the streets of Miami from Cuba. And it's always been kind of that place that I could never go. And so I'm really excited. I'm taking one of my children with me and we are going to Cuba tomorrow for a couple of days. So among my favorite things, let's talk about my favorite things for a few minutes. Among my favorite things are tomatoes. I love tomatoes. I eat them raw. I eat them cooked. I eat them like I will eat them just like I'm eating an apple. I love them. And the challenge is, though, have you ever noticed you go to the grocery store and the tomatoes just have no taste? They're kind of like tasteless tomatoes. Well, finally, I was introduced to a tomato, Tasty Lee tomatoes, that they're certified by the American Heart Association as heart healthy, and they are vine ripened. And that's what makes the difference. They're vine ripened with up to 50% more lycopene than the other brands. And I just have to tell you now, I don't eat any kind of tomato unless I see Tasty Lee tomato on there. And they just taste like you grew them yourself. They're sweet and tangy, and I absolutely love them. And you might buy the first package for the health reasons, but I guarantee you the second package will be because they just taste good. And you can go to Tasty Lee's website, which is Tasty with an I, -Lee.com. And you'll find them available in your grocery store. And if you don't find them, make sure you ask for them because you will love Tasty Lee tomatoes. We're really excited too, because later on in the show, I'm going to have someone from Tasty Lee talk a little bit about what makes their tomatoes so different from all of the rest. I want to thank one of our sponsors real quick. That is Pre-Mama. Drink Pre-Mama when you don't want to gag on a big horse pill. They are the sponsor of Mom Talk Radio and bring you to me every single week. And we got a great show lined up for you. When we return, we're going to be talking with Dr. Katie Friedman. She's a board-certified pediatrician that works at the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital. We'll be right back.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I am excited to have with us today Dr. Katie Friedman. She's a board-certified pediatrician that works at Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital, one of the region's leading pediatric hospitals. She has had the privilege of working with companies such as Boom, Babies R Us, Nosh, Boogie Wipes, and Big City Moms. She has gotten around. She's very smart. She's on TV, and I'm excited to have her here. We're going to talk a little bit about spring illness, but I'm also going to ask her about this really cool program called Forever Freckled. So welcome, Dr. Friedman, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I think that I am probably, and I don't want to jinx myself, one of the only moms who kids haven't gotten this dreaded flu virus that's going around. And I was just wondering, as we're talking about common illness of spring, can you talk a little bit about this flu that I keep seeing all over Facebook?
Of course. Yeah. So we are heavily into flu season right now. We start to see a peak at March and into May. Unfortunately, we are having a strong flu season now, as we do every single year. And influenza is a difficult virus for children. It causes extremely high fever, muscle fatigue, muscle ache, some cough, cold, those types of symptoms. Sometimes you can have some vomiting with it. It really brings a lot of children to the emergency room trying to get that fever under control. And it has very miserable symptoms. So we are treating a lot of flu. It is what we see a lot during the month of March. We are definitely in flu season. If your child does have a fever, especially a high fever, 103, 104, it's definitely worth it for you to have them evaluated by the pediatrician.
And how can you tell if your child starts feeling bad? How do you tell between a cold and the flu?
So the flu typically causes high fever, 103, 104. They start to have body aches, muscle aches is a big one. They get very red eyes. There is medication to help fight it off, Tamiflu. So if your child is suffering from a high fever, I would recommend you having them evaluated earlier on in the course so that if you wanted to have your child placed on Tamiflu, that would be an option for you. Because in order to use that medication, you have to take it within the first 24 to 48 hours of the onset of symptoms.
I gotcha. So another thing that I've been hearing about is because we've had such a warm winter that allergy season is starting before it typically does, and it's going to be longer than normal. Can you speak a little bit to allergies?
Yeah, of course. I mean, here in South Florida, we do suffer from a longer, harder allergy season because of the fact that we have blooming and landscaping all year long. But for our states up north, as the snow begins to melt and the landscape begins to bloom, you will see allergy flare up due to blooming trees, plants, and flowers. So what I always recommend all my parents is to get prepared ahead of time. That's the most important thing that you can do. So make your appointments with your pediatricians, your pulmonologist, get your scripts for albuterol, Flonase, make sure to get your supply of boogie wipes, your humidifier out, so that you are ready and prepared for it when your child starts to suffer from those types of symptoms. And we might see that our children are going to start to see the symptoms earlier on, and it might progress to a longer period of time. Absolutely.
I love the fact that you mentioned Boogie Wipes, because that's a company that was actually started by two moms. And I love the fact that moms can be so innovative with the solutions that they have for our children. And I just love Boogie Wipes because of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not paid to say that.
They also, just so everyone knows, they do have a mist. They have a nasal spray, which is amazing for nasal congestion and like post-nasal drip. So that with their wipes, I love their wipes because I always recommend them to all my patients because it really is an all-natural product that prevents dryness and irritation of the nose.
Well, that's good to know because I didn't know about the mist. Okay, now there's also another thing that we don't think about when we think about illness, but drowning, and the fact that even up north, a lot of the pools are defrosting, or I guess thawing out, and suddenly there's water where there wasn't water a few months ago.
Yeah, and you know what else is important to understand is that children, especially up north, they haven't been swimming for an extended period of time, and they are very able to easily forget the skills that they learned over the past year, the last summer and their last spring. So it's important that when you, especially younger children, toddlers, or any child of that matter, that you are very closely supervising your children. I can't stress enough that don't become overconfident by your child's swimming ability. You need to always be within arm length of your child, and someone needs to be supervising at all times.
That's absolutely right. And what about as it warms up, barbecue? We just have barbecue accidents. We just have 2 minutes. So can you just talk really quickly about that?
Yeah, of course. The springtime is all about barbecues and getting out there, enjoying the warm weather. And we love that. But we have to be very careful because there's always dangers that exist with that. Children, they get burned. And also people don't think about it. The tools that you use for the barbecue are very dangerous. You can use those barbecue, you could flip your burger and then you put the tool down and then it's actually very hot and a small child could be in the reach of a small child. They can get burned very easily. Also, the products that we use for the barbecue, if a child ingests them, can be extremely dangerous. So yes, enjoy, but again, it's always important that you designate an adult that's not drinking, that, their job is to be observing the children.
Right.
And making sure that everybody's safe. If you are going to have a table for the children, put that table away from the barbecue. You don't want it close to the barbecue.
Well, we're going to run out of time, but I want to make sure everybody knows about this. I want everyone to go to foreverfreckled.com. It's a really great website of knowledge and advice with the authors. They share with each other and they're engaged readers. But go to foreverfreckled.com and check it out because you're really going to like what you find there. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you, Dr. Friedman, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. We really appreciate you sharing some of your time with us.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
Moms all over the world are using momtv.com. It's fun, it's entertaining, it's informative, and you can get connected with other moms through video. Whether you're looking to do a webisode series or you just want to share a video of a birthday party, maybe your latest dinner recipe, go to momtv.com. Easy to get started, discovering and sharing videos with moms just like yourself. It's free to start your own channel. Visit www.momtv.com to sign up today and start your own channel. I'm super excited to turn the spotlight on one mom today on our Spotlight on Mom segment to a mom who actually is a morning show host at Cricket Country, KRKT, in Oregon. And she has 4 children. Her name is Angela, and I want to welcome Angela to Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Angela.
Thank you so much. This is, I'm very nervous, even though I do this every day. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. You're not nervous. I think it's harder to have 4 kids, isn't it?
Yes, most definitely, yes. We've got our routines, so we have it, as long as we stick to the routines for the most part, then we can get through a day without any major meltdowns.
So you kind of have a focus in your family about making memories with your kids. Out of all of the focus, like in my family, I guess maybe it's a little bit close to that. Like travel was like our focus. So why did you pick that particular focus?
My husband and I, we've talked about how we grew up and we've talked about things like his trip to Disneyland that his mom took him and his sister on. And I said, now is that your best memory from childhood? And he said, no, it's not even in the top 10. Our best memories from childhood are so much at the time to our parents maybe seemed way less significant, but they're the things we remember the most. And so, it feels like yesterday that I was a child and now I'm 39 years old. And so I can remember things so vividly that I enjoyed with my parents. And they were the small things. Like one of my earliest memories is playing Go Fish on the living room floor with my mom. And I was maybe 3 years old. And I recognized, I've got a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I recognized that like the 4-year-old maybe hasn't had his first memory yet, or maybe he has, but I just want to make sure it's a good one. I don't want it to be something traumatizing.
That is a really good point, that when you think of your first memory, it's not often where we put the effort. I don't know why, but I always remember watching Woody the Woodpecker on Saturday mornings before my mom took me to my ballet class. I have no idea why. But when I think of Saturday mornings, that's what I think of. If you knew what your children were going to hold near and dear to them for the rest of your life, you'd probably focus more on that than you do on probably the silly stuff that takes you the most effort out of your busy day? Do you know what I mean? Like the laundry, for instance, or I don't know, or writing notes in your lunchbox. I'm sure that my mother did that, but I don't even remember it, probably because I was so busy trying to, you know, trade my dill pickle for a little Debbie Swiss roll, right? So, I mean, how you can do that.
It's just a daily, it's just the little things that add up. And I mean, that sounds so cliche, but I just try to, I lose it sometimes with them because I have four and I have a temper sometimes. And so I do lose it, but I just try to make sure the majority of their day is filled with me being kind to them and being understanding with them. And it's like you said, you don't know what they're going to take with them to adulthood. All I can go on is what I remember from my childhood. And like I said, it's the littler things. It wasn't any of the big extravagant things that mom and dad put a lot of effort into. I mean, I may remember that, but what if when my kids get to adulthood and I say to them, oh, do you remember those sweet little notes I wrote to you in your lunchbox? And they say, no, don't remember that at all. Then, you know, my feelings might get hurt. So I just kind of try to bombard them daily with lots of little things that show how much I love them.
You can just hear it in your passion for your kids. I love that discussion. And I think that you and I have challenged people to like just take a step back and think about what meant the most in your life growing up. And I bet you that you might shift your priorities tomorrow. I asked one of my college kids recently, hey, you know, tell me about your childhood. And I thought that I was a disciplinarian the whole time growing up. And they're like, oh, no, mom, you were like the pushover. We had fun with you. And I was like, wow, I completely thought I had done a different thing. But who knows? Moms can find you online at krkt.com and on Twitter at Cricket Country. So, Angela, mm-hmm. thank you for sharing some of your day with us and coming back on the radio with us. That is a great exercise. Take a step back and think about what meant the most to you growing up. And do you try to recreate those same things with your own child? I mean, I remember my mom reading to me on the couch and coloring in coloring books. And that was probably just little things that she didn't even realize she was doing to make an impact in my life. So there you have it. So when we return, we are going to talk with a mom and a therapist who did something pretty amazing. She adopted twin boys.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
Did you ever think about things I wish my mom had told me? Well, Margot Bergen has written the book. It's called Navigating Life, Things I Wish My Mom Had Told Me. And she spent 20 plus years raising three children and working all over the world for large and small institutions focused on international development and women's leadership. So she's got a wealth of knowledge packed into that book. And we have her here on Mom Talk Radio today. So welcome, Margot, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much, Maria, for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
You know, recently, one of my children moved out on his own, and his employer has him living in a hotel room. And he called me, or he texted me, actually, and said, Mom, I wish you had told me that when you use a hotel phone and call long distance, that you have to pay long distance charges.
Of course.
Now, why and when would I have had the occasion to teach him that long distance applies to a hotel phone? Like, I mean, I would never use one, and neither would a millennial, you know. But anyways, it was one of those funny moments when I thought to myself, what else did I neglect to teach them before I sent them out on their own? But what spurred this book for you?
Well, I think it was spurred in two ways. One was sort of an element of desperation, you know, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, looking at the ceiling, what the Romans call the watch. You know, that time between, you know, sunset and sunrise, and a lot of, you know, quite dramatic things that happened to me and to my family, everything across the spectrum of sort of addiction and illness and death and job loss and divorce. And I literally woke up and said to myself, why on earth didn't my parents tell me how to deal with all of this? And, of course, you know, in the sense it wasn't my parents' responsibility to tell me about every dreadful thing that was going to happen to me. But it spurred the idea that perhaps I could help Charlotte, to whom the book is dedicated, and her two siblings to kind of survive life. And so in a sense, it was sort of a rearguard action to sort of put down on paper how to deal with, you know, quite traumatic, dramatic events, which I started writing to her when she was, I think, 9 and a half. The book, over the 10 years of writing it, turned into, thankfully, something a little less desperate and I hope a little bit more positive, which is after my life had stabilized and I had repartnered and I got a new job and my father, you know, eventually died, I started looking at how to thrive in life and how to sort of try and approach life with a sort of a meaningful intention and also write that down for Charlotte too. So the book, in a sense, has changed from writing to a nine-year-old to writing to somebody who is just about to leave for college. And that's why when you read the book, you'll see things that are of interest to perhaps a younger daughter and then to somebody who's an emerging young woman about to go into the world.
So what do you think, is there one particular lesson that you think was the most important for your daughter?
Can I ask you, can I answer that with the reverse of that? Because I think
yes.
The most important lesson for her and for me was that she did not need the book. What she needed was me.
Wow.
And this comes out of the fact that 2.5 years after I gave her the book, which she read and likes, you know how children are, they're not going to give you the response that you want. she wrote me an email and the subject line was, "Mum, do you remember the book?" And then the email said, "You know that book you gave me when I went to college? Well, I lost it. Do you think you could send it to me again?" And it was the day that I'd sent her sister her book, because there are actually three books, because each child has to be treated equally. And so what I realized was the biggest lesson for both of us was actually my presence. The words on the page were wonderful. I hope that they will, you know, still inspire her in 10 and 15 and 20 years. But the really big lesson was that I had to be present for her, and she wanted me to be present for her as well. So it was a mutual learning, in a sense. It wasn't something specific. It was just that my behavior, my presence, counted more than anything.
You know, I love that, because so often on the show, we'll talk about the importance of being present. And I always talk about something that was very difficult for me, and that was I had to actually learn how to physically be present with my children, and that is look them in the whites of their eyes. I had to learn how to do that, and I had to practice it daily when I spoke to them, because I had three babies under the age of 2, and there was always chaos going on in our house. So I love the fact that being present is the number one, I guess, you know, takeaway from all of that.
Well, it was something I really had to learn for myself.
For all moms, it's so easy for us to go through the routine of being a mom, but it's much more difficult for us to be present with our children and the people around us.
Yeah,
I think it's easy to go through the routine and check the things off the task list, but to actually stop and connect is a very difficult thing.
Yeah, and actually the way that we connected was we often used to go for walks together, and we're both big readers, so we would sort of walk and talk, and occasionally, or we would drive, and without the constant eye contact and the ability to just be together, but not looking totally at each other, but perhaps holding hands sometimes, out would come the most marvelous and unnerving questions that she would, you know, just sort of, you know, would be evoked from putting aside particular time for her, which, you know, sort of like you, I had 3 in 4 years.
Right.
And, you know, as
well,
I always
it's a
say,
beautiful
missing...
book, and I want to make sure everybody, before I have to say goodbye, knows where to find it. So Margot has a website, margobergen.com, and it's margauxbergen.com, or more easily, go to momtalkradio.com, where you'll find a link to it.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
So I am excited to have on Mom Talk Radio a mom who has done some pretty amazing things in all areas of her life, including being a mompreneur and being the mom of twin boys and being a therapist. She's like done a lot of really amazing things. And she is Brenda Lee Roberts. She joins us as a former therapist and of a mom who actually adopted twin sons at birth. And in the 2 years following their birth, it came clear that they needed one of them needed to stay home and one of them needed to go back to work. And so I will let her tell you the rest of the story. But I want to welcome Brenda to Mom Talk Radio. So hi, Brenda.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, so how did that story end with one of you wanting to go back to work and one of you wanting to stay home? How, tell me the rest of the story there.
Yeah, you know, twins are an interesting process because when one of them gets sick, both of them get sick. And
right,
it never seemed to happen at the opportune time, of course. So it was just decided that one of us who actually, you know, made the least amount of income would be the one that stayed at home. And so I chose to do that willingly. I was very happy to be a stay-at-home mom. And just over the course of taking them out and about and running errands and day in and day out, whether it's winter time or summertime, I ran across several scenarios that became very frustrating to me, which was no changing station or the ones that were there were things that, you know, I just wouldn't put my child on. So we talked about it and decided, you know, there's got to be something different.
And so you created the Baby Change and Go, which actually got you some attention from, or you, there was some interaction with Ashton Kutcher, right?
Well, we didn't personally interact with him. What happened was, is when we reached our breaking point as far as running across this over and over, we were at a home and garden show at a convention center. It was a family event. It was a family expo. We went to change our boys, and there was nothing. So we ended up having to change them on the concrete floor. And so we went to lunch afterwards, and we were like, you know, there's got to be something out there. So we looked online and couldn't find anything, and we were like, well, what is it that we're looking for? And the main thing we wanted was something that you didn't require you laying something somewhere and then taking that something and putting it back in your diaper bag next to your bottle and the chew toys and clothes. So we decided, you know, to draw something up, and we drew that up and stuck it in our bag and got home and said, yeah, that's a pretty cool idea, but stay-at-home mom now, one-income family, that's not going to happen as far as, you know, creating something. And we knew that starting a business and all that was a big deal, so we just kind of put it in a drawer. And then several months later, that was in October, in March of 2015, Ashton Kutcher got really upset about there not being changing stations in men's restroom, and so he really went public with it, and we read the articles and saw the social media that he had posted and said, you know, I think the universe is telling us we need to do something with that something that we drew. So we pulled it out of the drawer and got busy.
And so the idea is that it actually, the baby change and go, it hangs from, it's like a hammock, right?
It is. It hangs from a public bathroom stall door or stall wall. It opens up like a hammock. You lay the baby in it, you change their diaper, and then it folds back up to fit in your diaper bag.
And so how, so you're going to do a Kickstarter campaign, and how are you launching the product?
We did the Kickstarter campaign. It ended on June 30th. We did not fund as we wanted to. However, we gathered a lot of information about the people that were interested in the product. Our next big event is the ABC Expo, the All Baby Child Expo, in October, and that is where we will actually have product in hand. We've already, even though the Kickstarter didn't fund, we continued to move forward with manufacturing the product. We just actually got our sample in the mail from the manufacturer yesterday, and it looks fantastic. So we're going to move forward with placing an order. We'll have those in hand by mid-October at the ABC Expo, and that's our big reveal when we start putting it on retail.
Well, it's very, very, very cool. So do you know what it's going to retail for?
It is our goal to have it under $100.
Awesome.
Our hope is $89.99. Unfortunately, you know, we really tried hard to make a product in America. That was one of the first
right.
things on our list was we want to make it in America. And unfortunately, the cost per goods just would not allow us to do that and be able to take it to the market for under $100.
Right.
And so we.
How did you learn how to do this? Because a lot of moms have really great ideas, but we just don't know how to take them from that piece of paper that you had into the marketplace. How did you learn all of that?
It has been a fast and furious learning experience, especially for me. My significant other is a VP controller of finance at a large business in Richmond and knows all the ins and outs of business, but didn't know the ins and outs of starting a business. And, of course, I knew nothing about it. I was a therapist by trade, working with high-conflict divorce couples.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, big switch. So it really was, okay, I bought a book about value proposition and I read it. And I bought a book about business plans and I read it. And, you know, just really began educating myself about really what are the steps to take a product to market. And, okay, what do I need for the next step? And I kept an Excel spreadsheet, which was new for me, of what's my next step. And I, you know, just kind of planned it out and then just started knocking, you know, doing the tick marks off of what to do. And it's time consuming. It's frustrating at times. It's depending a lot on people that have gone there and have been mm-hmm. successful.
It sounds like you are on your way to success. I mean, it's a great looking product. You can go to babychangeandgo.com and really awesome product, Brenda. And we're looking forward to seeing it everywhere. And good luck. It's always encouraging to see a mom take an idea and actually go for it. And you definitely are doing it here. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. And keep your eye out for it. Right now you can pre-order it online at the $89.99 price. And you should see it on the shelves in October.
Well, great. Well, good luck and congratulations, Brenda. You know, there's so many moms out there. We have really great ideas, and we need to go for it. What are we teaching our children to do but to go for it? So when we return, we got another mom that went for it and wrote a book called Navigating Life, Things I Wish My Mother Had Told Me. Super excited to have with us today the gentleman behind Tasty Lee Tomatoes and Bajo Seeds. I'm excited because as I started the show telling you, I love tomatoes. And one of the biggest challenges is finding tomatoes that actually taste like tomatoes. They all kind of have no taste at all. And when I discovered Tasty Lee Tomatoes a few years ago, I have remained super loyal because I eat them like an apple at my desk. It kind of freaks everybody out, but I love tomatoes, and I like a good-tasting tomato. So I'd like to welcome to Mom Talk Radio Jeff Trickett. He is in charge of sales and marketing for Bajo Seeds, which is the seeds behind Tasty Lee Tomatoes. So welcome, Jeff.
Thanks, Maria. Glad to be here.
I always wonder this when I'm eating one of your tomatoes, like how do you make them have a flavor when so many other tomatoes just have no flavor?
Well, part of it is in the breeding. I think most people think of breeding when they think of animal husbandry, but actually with plants and vegetables, there's a very significant breeding effort that goes on, and basically they're crossing different varieties of tomatoes together, and then they produce different varieties by crossing the different ones. And what happened was it took over 10 years, but Dr. Jay Scott from the University of Florida was on a mission to create a better-tasting tomato. And so he spent, as I said, about 10 years crossing different types of tomatoes until he finally came up with Tasty Lee. He used an all-natural process of just crossing the plants, pollinating, you know, cross-pollinating mm-hmm. plants. There's no GMO involved in Tasty Lee. But he really hit on something, and we worked with him for a while when he was doing this. And so when the product became available to license, Bijou Seeds went ahead and licensed the tomato for worldwide, really, for a both production of the seed as well as a marketing program for the brand for Tasty Lee tomatoes.
Is that how you also have a significantly higher level of lycopene as well because of that breeding?
Yeah, when you cross different varieties that have different traits, you can sometimes achieve those types of attributes. And mm-hmm. so it is a very high lycopene tomato. We advertise up to 50%, but in reality, we average 70 to 80% more lycopene. And at times, we've tested over 100% more lycopene. So we know it's consistently higher lycopene tomato. It has what they call the crimson gene, which gives it that deep red color, mm-hmm. wonderful texture on the inside. And one of the other interesting attributes is that you can take a fully ripe Tasty Lee and you can put it on your kitchen counter. And maybe you've experienced this, but you can put it on your kitchen counter and come back to it several weeks later, and it's still firm to eat. It doesn't melt away and turn into tomato sauce. It's just the nature of the varieties that Jay worked with. Some people have described it as lightning hitting in the same place three times in a row. It's very rare to achieve all the different attributes that Tasty Lee has in a variety. It's very difficult to do that. So maybe it's part luck, but I'm sure it's part skill from the breeder standpoint.
Right.
And he was able to produce this wonderful tomato that tastes so good. It tastes like a garden fresh tomato that's picked right out of your garden.
So where are we supposed to store tomatoes? So we buy our Tasty Lee tomatoes at the grocery store. When we bring them home, are we supposed to leave them out on the counter or put them in the refrigerator?
Definitely out on the counter. When you refrigerate tomatoes, they experience what we call chilling injury. And what will happen is it'll slowly take all the taste away from the tomato. So it's really best to store your tomatoes at room temperature on the counter.
I know there's also something about being ripened on the vine, and your tomatoes are ripened on the vine. What difference does that make?
The produce industry, for a long time, most of the focus has been on what we call grower and retailer attributes. And what they're looking for, obviously, is products that they can grow and ship long distances and that they don't go bad on them and so forth. So a lot of tomatoes are picked green and they're hard as a rock, and that way they can be handled and stored and shipped and so forth. But Tasty Lee is only picked when it achieves at least a certain level of color. It may not be fully red-white ripe, but it's definitely pink and already coloring up, and it's red on the inside. And by doing that, that's part of what gives it that added flavor. And we can get away with that because we know, as I said earlier, that Tasty Lee will hold its firmness for a long time, even mm-hmm. after it reaches full color. So that unique attribute of Tasty Lee allows us to let it ripen on the vine before we harvest it and then ship it to the stores.
If you don't find Tasty Lee tomatoes in the store that you're at, just ask the produce manager. You can visit the Tasty Lee website at tasty-lee.com. And I have a link on Mom Talk Radio, or you can follow me on Twitter where I also will tweet it out. But thank you, Jeff, so much. And from all of my taste buds, I want to thank you for the great Tasty Lee tomatoes that you provide me. So thanks, Jeff, and thank you for joining the show. We'll see you next time.